Gang, you know, I'm a little bit depressed. Football, yeah, it's over. But the NBA, college basketball, the NHL, they're in full swing. Baseball's ramping up. The only place you should be betting on these sports is at betonline.ag. BetOnline, it even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. BetOnline has hundreds of props with real-time odds on almost anything you can imagine, and it's pretty fun. And of course, the 24-hour online casino. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Hey, hey, gang, how are we doing? I am so happy you're here. Thank you very much for taking the time. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you listening and following us on social media at all of our outlets, at Nick Hardwick. We are also at Hardwick.life. We love your interaction, the feedback that you give through those outlets and through email. Now, here's something that I want from you. I want more of your feedback, actually. I want to give you guys exactly what you're here looking for. Topics you want covered, people you want interviewed, questions you want answered that will help you live a better, more fulfilling life. I'll reach out to the people and get the topics covered and the questions answered. So I want to do what I think a lot of times is often overlooked in the podcast game. I want you to tell me what you want. So seriously, email me directly. My email address is nick@nickhardwick.com. If you write me, I promise I will write you back. Thank you very much. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Hardwick.life. It's the home of the Lose Like a Lineman program. If you haven't heard of the Lose Like a Lineman program and are interested in losing weight, get your butt over to the website. We're at Hardwick.life. It's like Hardwick.com, but that domain name was already taken, so it's Hardwick.life, and it's kind of fitting. And if you don't know already, I designed the Lose Like a Lineman program for my personal weight loss journey 6 years ago, and it was the sole reason that I lost 85 pounds in 5 months. It went viral. There were features on Sports Illustrated, ESPN, LA Times, Business Insider, CBS Sports. I knew my transformation was special, but after countless emails asking for my secret and direct messages and giving it on these one-off occasions, I decided it was just time to package it up and give it to the world. So as of this year, the program officially went public, and it's helped hundreds of men lose weight every day, women too. And I'm not talking just a few pounds. We're talking real results here, people like John Zenser, who you heard a little while back on the podcast, lost 100 pounds in 7 months. Super inspiring. Or Joshie, who lost 30 pounds in the first 6 weeks. That's not uncommon, guys. Listen, this isn't a little vegan diet, no juice cleanses, no bunny food. I mean, although if you're vegan or keto or whatever, it accommodates those. We're talking just real food for real people. And if it could be assembled by a former offensive lineman, knucklehead like me, I'm telling you, you can do it too. And on top of that, the workouts are realistic. They don't take more than 4 to 16 minutes every other day. There's no room for excuses. Not only that, but this program easily integrates into a very busy life from the comfort of your home. You can lose weight fast. No expensive gym memberships, no equipment needed. What the hell are you waiting for? That's right. You may be waiting for the right time. Let me be real with you. There is never a perfect time to do anything. You're always just one decision away from real results. And it's not like the program is hundreds of dollars either. For the price of a dinner for two, you can change your life forever. Now listen to this. I'll even motivate you a little bit more. For the next 24 hours, you can use the coupon code podcast20 to get the program for 20% off. That's podcast20 for 20% off. So what are you waiting for? Get over to hardwick.life and use the code podcast20, and we'll get you onto the show. Hey guys, Nick Hardwick here. Thank you for tuning in to the Hardwick Life podcast. Wherever, however you're listening, we hope you're having a wonderful day. We definitely are doing that here in Indiana. Spring has officially sprung. If you're a regular listener of the podcast, several weeks ago, we had Sean Garner join us to talk about the fitness industry and to help us better understand how to do online fitness businesses better. He's a fitness business coach. The details of his program at EntreeFit.com are helping plenty of personal trainers and people in the fitness industry make more money for their time and scale their businesses quickly. Even for people not in the industry, the lessons he shared with us really can benefit any business looking to scale online. I found it to be very valuable in my own business growth. Go back, give that one a listen when you get a chance. And after our episode, at the end of that, thankfully, Sean introduced me to his wife, Courtney Garner, who is a board-certified family nurse practitioner with extensive training and experience in functional medicine, hormone replacement therapy, anti-aging, and clinical endocrinology. She's an alumni of the University of Oklahoma and University of South Alabama, and she is an active member of the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. Her own health journey of overcoming gut health issues, infertility, and low thyroid has fueled her passion to bring root cause medicine to patients across the nation, restoring men and women to their optimal health. Courtney founded Restore You Wellness in 2020 with the idea of providing a convenient relationship-driven service for people seeking hormone replacement therapy with a unique functional approach. Restore You Wellness is a boutique clinic offering members telemedicine, ongoing access to their provider, with the perk of medications and supplements being delivered to their door. Pretty cool. Courtney is mother of three beautiful children. And for those of you out there considering hormone replacement therapy, anti-aging, or your own endocrine system, this is a great episode for you. My wife, Jamie, for those of you that are new here, she recently started working with Courtney and, as you're going to hear, gives rave reviews about the process and the knowledge that Courtney has shared with her. And yes, we're going to switch it up a little bit today. You're going to see, if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, that's Hardwick Life YouTube, you can see a beautiful face on there. Jamie's going to take the reins of the podcast. I'm going to chime in, of course, and we're going to get into the process that she underwent as a client of Restore You Wellness for female hormone therapy, which it's a super hot topic right now. Hell, you may enjoy her more as a host than you do me. I really do hope so. And as always, if you have any questions or podcast suggestions, hit me up in the DMs of Instagram. I'm at Nick Hardwick. And on Facebook, I'm Nick Hardwick and Hardwick Life. And Jamie can be found and should be followed because she is freaking hilarious with all the memes at jamie.hardwick on Instagram. And by the way, reach out to her on Instagram and tell her you want to see her or hear her more on the podcast. And to get in touch with Courtney, check out her work and get in touch with her at www.restoreyouwellness.com. That's restore you, like the letter U, wellness.com. And then hit the get started button in the top right hand side. And that web address is also going to be in the show notes. All right, here we go. How's your day?
It's been great. How it is. It's like running the kids where they got to go and, you know, checking in emails and all of that, but it's great.
Good.
You've got three kids, right?
Yes.
What ages?
Yes. I have a six-year-old and a 1-year-old.
What do you do with the 1-year-old?
Go ahead. He goes to like an in-home daycare that actually the girls went to when they were little. And so we know the lady really, really well, and she's just so good to him. So
that's awesome.
It worked out. I feel comfortable with it.
Your family just recently moved from Miami to Tulsa, Oklahoma. How has that been for you guys?
It's been such a transition. You know, we grew up here. So this is kind of like home base. We know it really well. We loved living in Miami so much, and things shifted when the pandemic happened, and it was on our heart to kind of move back because we were having another baby and my family was having some health issues kind of going on with grandparents and my father. And we felt like we needed to get closer because in Miami, it's two flights. So there's not an easy way to get back. It's like an all day ordeal. So anyways, the pandemic happened and, you know, it's been a change. It's been an adjustment. I think sometimes you get into these things and you're just moving and you're going because it's what you have to do. And then you wake up and you're like, okay, I think I need to deal with this. You know, this has been a transition and change. But what about you guys? You guys moved, right?
Very similar situation. You know, both went to college here. Nick grew up here. We both knew kind of we wanted to raise kids in the Midwest, but we had been there for 16 years. So same thing, the pandemic hit, we came back here, and so many pros and cons, you know, both ways. Yeah.
And my big con that I just noticed was as I was putting on face makeup for the YouTube channel, you know, got to look good, is I didn't realize how bad my rosacea was until I got to Indiana. And like my outer layer, I feel translucent. It's like I have all of a sudden become, I was tan all the time in San Diego, and now I'm just red. Like it feels like veins everywhere, little blood vessels popping out.
Yeah.
Totally get it in the winter, I'm sure. I mean, we were like that. We were like in our house for 3 months straight, it felt like. I'm like,
totally. But the people are great. You know, the way of life is a little bit slower. The cost of living is better. Oh, so man. There definitely is a flip side to not being tan.
Absolutely. I mean, our idea was come back, be closer to family, raise the kids in an environment we feel like is just healthier in many ways. And yeah, it's more affordable and all of those positives. So it's all in all been an excellent decision and a great transition. I can't complain.
We would think the same thing, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree.
And how old are
your kids?
How old are your kids?
Yes.
9 and 7. Okay. Yes. All right. So we have two that are really close.
And now you're two girls and then
bonus
a boy.
Baby. So
two. Okay. And we're just two boys.
Two girls and a boy.
And I can't talk her into a third.
Yeah, he's been trying for years.
I even say, you know, I'll stay up, I'll bottle feed, I'll do all the things, but no, I get, no.
Yeah, I know. I'm just good.
I want a girl.
I'm good.
I want a girl. I'm sick of these boys yelling at me all the time. It's awful.
So funny. Lots.
Yeah.
Oh, all the testosterone in the house.
Especially with her.
I can only imagine having two girls and then having a boy. I'm like, I already feel it's so different. I'm like, whoa, this kid has a lot of energy. He doesn't stop eating. He doesn't stop moving.
I know, but they always say, you know, the boys are difficult as youngsters because they do. There's so much energy. They don't sit still. But then as they enter the teen years, hopefully they're not so, you know, hormonal. We'll see though.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping it plays to my advantage that I've been doing hormone therapy for so long.
There we go.
Whether it's my hormones that need to be in check or my girls when they hit, you know, puberty or whatever. I'm like, those things happen.
Courtney, do you mind if I ask you tomorrow, and this will be a couple of weeks now in the past when this podcast airs, tomorrow I'm going to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway to get the COVID vaccine, and I'm getting the Johnson & Johnson, the solo shot. And Jamie got that a couple weeks ago, and we both had the virus pretty hard. We got hit pretty hard in early December, and then she got pretty well taken out for like 24 hours.
After the vaccine.
After the vaccine. And then now she's fine and can check that box off. How are you advising your patients on the vaccine? Because I know there's a lot of people out there that are scared or, you know, leery or conspiracy theory or whatever. I know for me, we want to go to Canada to visit her family at some point, and it seems like everything's trending towards you're going to have a vaccine if you want to get into that country.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's been a really challenging time for medical providers and maybe an extra layer for people that are kind of in the functional medicine, kind of in the outer skirts of traditional, you know. I think where I've stood and had conversations with any patient that wanted to have the conversation has just been, I'm empathetic of where you're at, why you want it, and the readiness to go travel and realizing like the reality of it looks like it's going that direction where it's going to be required to some capacity. I think from a health standpoint, I'm one of those people where it's like, I never want to recommend something that could potentially do harm, or I'm always looking at it risk versus benefit, you know? And I think where I've struggled with the vaccine topic is because now we've got, I don't know if it's 4 or 5 available at this point. There's, whenever I first started kind of really digging into the vaccines, I was looking at just 1 or 2, the Pfizer and the biotech or whatever the second one was. And I just felt like there wasn't good data released as far as what really were the potential risk and who should not be taking it. There's a colleague in Miami that passed away right. after taking it. And it's one story, right? Out of yeah. hundreds of thousands. But I think I'm just like, oh, catch my breath about like, okay, what is this? What's in it? What are things that we should be saying, telling patients, oh, probably not a good idea. And I think autoimmune issues are one of those things where I would be a little bit more cautious with patients kind of jumping into it, or people that had like blood clotting issues or platelet issues and some of those sort of basic things that we've kind of seen. But it's, you know, it's person to person dependent. I've had patients who are like, absolutely not. And I have patients who are like, I'm a little scared, but I'm just going to go for it because, you know, and just trust that I'm going to be okay. Cause I feel like I am tired of living with this cloud over my head. So, in those cases, what I've told people is let's support you with what we know are natural detoxification pathways, right? Like we don't know exactly what's in this. So it's hard to tell you, oh, for right. sure. Just take X, Y, and Z and you're going to be good. But right. you know, if you support natural detoxification pathways, I think that's a huge head start. So glutathione, liposomal glutathione is what I've been recommending a lot of patients, making sure they're on methylated B vitamins, good gut health and those sort of
yeah, basics. Mostly I want to get it. I mean, I don't feel the necessity to get it, but I do feel like I want the t-shirt. Right. So Jamie's ordered me a t-shirt that says I've been vaccinated. Can I take this mask off when I come out in public? Like I'm ready to go. I'm ready to just open it up. And I'm like, I just want to do my part. So anyway, thank you for that. So glutathione, how much are you saying and B vitamins, how much are we talking about? And then probiotics.
I mean, some people are getting like most of what's been available so far has been the two doses. So I'm having patients take liposomal glutathione, two sprays. I think it's 100 milligrams per two sprays is how most of the calculations are with most of the products that you can find online. Two sprays twice a day for 30 days after your final vaccine, whether that's one or that's two. And then, you know, you could do another month or so of just two sprays once a day and just support that. And then methylated Bs, I probably recommend that personally for patients based on their labs. But as a general rule of thumb, you know, 1,000 micrograms of methylated B12 and which is methylcobalamin and methylfolate is probably a good baseline thing to do. You could take a higher dose for a short duration.
Thank
without
you
any
so
issues.
Much. Now, I think there is a lot of mystery and kind of, I don't know, unknowns that surrounds functional medicine and hormone health. Can you try to just explain it to our listeners out there exactly what a functional / hormone health provider does?
Yes. Okay. So functional medicine, really the easiest way to explain that is our goal is to help people get to the root of their issues. So, you know, you go to like a general practitioner, your GYN, you come in with a complaint and they're medically trained. We all are medically trained initially to, you know, see the symptom, get the lab test, get a diagnosis, right. give a pill, right? Give a medication. And functional medicine is kind of peeling back and looking more at the biology and the biochemistry of disease and of symptoms and saying, you know, what are the foundations to health? Yes, there's a diagnosis. Yes, there's an abnormal lab value, but why is it happening? And really kind of peeling back the layers and helping people get to the root of the issue, which I think is such a beautiful thing when you think about it. It's if you get to the root of a few issues, you've probably given yourself a lot more longevity and really improved your overall wellness. And so with what I do with hormone replacement, not everybody that's in functional medicine does hormone replacement. I have several colleagues who are in functional medicine, but maybe their bread and butter is gut health or autoimmune or Lyme disease. That's a common one to see. But I fell in love with the hormone pathway and kind of geeked out on what I felt like was such a crucial part to so many people's lives. Like I just constantly having moms come in and dads come in just saying, and I'm tired. I don't know why I'm tired. I don't have a sex drive. I'm gaining weight. Like they would come in with these reoccurring symptoms. And so anyways, that just led me into digging into, okay, there's commonality here. What are those things? And I don't want to just be a person who says, here, take this testosterone. I'll see you back in 6 months. But why at 35 is your testosterone not working like it should? And so that's really where I have learned over the time to blend functional medicine.
I'm going to throw out this analogy and you tell me if this is like fairly accurate based on the way you describe traditional medicine and then the way you describe functional medicine. So like if we were farmers, a traditional medicine would see an issue with bugs on the plants and then we would say, all right, let's put some pesticide on them, take care of the problem of the bugs. Where the functional medicine would go, what's going on in the soil? Why are we attracting that? And let's get this soil sorted out and then we're going to harvest a healthier crop. Kind of in general.
That's such a good analogy. I'm not a farmer, but that was beautiful.
I'm not a farmer either, but we look at a corn and a soybean field. I know a little bit about that. I'm so fascinated to learn more about the business side of things for you because telemedicine is new to a lot of people, right? It's most people would call the doctor's office, go in, wait in line, may take them a month to get in, whatever it is. I know if like I'm dealing with some knee issues, like got to call them and then you got to schedule it. And maybe we'll see you in 2 weeks. Then we get an MRI. And then, you know, 2 months later, we're actually dealing with the issue at hand where telemedicine is a lot different. Can you explain maybe the upsides and the downsides from both your perspective as the practitioner, but also the patient's side as well?
Absolutely. So I used to work in a more traditional healthcare environment where I was seeing 40, 50 patients a day. And what became really challenging in that is that I have this mind and this desire and love for people that I want to go deep and I want to really develop the relationship and help them figure out the lifestyle factors plus what's going on and fix the problems, fix their symptoms, getting them feeling better. And in a traditional healthcare model, you just can't do that because of insurance reimbursement rate. I mean, you can get 5 or 10 minutes and that's about all you can get with a patient because that's the only way that you can keep the clinic alive and keep it funded. So I think my first evolution out of traditional medicine was recognizing that like, okay, I really needed to go more of a cash pay model to be able to service patients in the way that I want to service them and that I feel led to service them. And then I've done telemedicine for the last probably 4 or 5 years with this functional hormone replacement therapy mindset, right? And coordinating care, you know, across state lines and just those different things that kind of have to go on. And what I found was just that patients really loved being able just to like call and they could be at work or they could be at home or they could be in the car and we could chat and, you know, get their problem taken care of. And so, it's just, they're two completely different worlds. They both have need and necessity. You know, if you have a broken bone, okay, telemedicine is not the right. But so much of what I do is so symptom-based and conversational. You know, I don't necessarily need to physically see you and touch you for you to tell me you're really tired and drained. Sometimes I can physically see that, you know, and I love like doing video. I do a ton of video so that I can really like see, have that interaction and see patients in that way. But all in all, it's just been a great transition for people to have that convenient component wherever they're at and not have to travel and sit in my waiting room for an hour and those kind of things.
Yeah, that's great.
Does that answer your question?
Now, it seems pretty natural as we get older. We don't feel as great. You know, you're in your young 20s, you've got energy, you can party all night, wake up and still, you know, function all day long. As we get older, that becomes harder and harder, you know, to do. Is there a certain age that you feel like people start coming to you not feeling their best?
Yes. In the literature of hormone replacement and of just endocrinology, it's pretty well recognized that at between age 30 and 35, our natural production just starts kind of lowering. And I used to see more of that being true. Like I used to see more of, you know, the 35, the 40, the 45, you know, and those kind of things. And they would tell me, okay, this has been going on for a year. I just didn't know what to do about it. I went to XYZ doctors and I've been to 5 places and everybody's telling me my labs are in normal range. And here I am looking for a second opinion. And so, with with the way that lifestyle is now and just environmental factors and stress, oh, wow, I'm seeing it all happen much earlier. Like I have patients that are in their 20s, men with their testosterone at 200 in their 20s. And that biologically should not be occurring, but you know, because of environmental toxins and stress levels and nutritional things, even nutritional things as children, we're seeing hormones decline earlier and earlier.
The one thing, and I want to get back to that, nutritional things with children maybe affecting later in life, because I haven't heard that before. So I think that's super interesting. You talked about a 20-year-old coming in the mid-200s or whatever, going to their GP and the doctor saying, yeah, you're normal. But what is normal? And then I guess closer to optimal or even acceptable for the male who's in the 200s and he's now seeking other options besides going to his doctor, who says, yeah, based on the Framingham study or whatever, that says from 19 to 92 years old, if you're alive and have testicles, like you're producing testosterone, right? It's so what is normal, what's acceptable, what's optimal when it comes to testosterone and kind of the associated hormones there?
Question. So this is a common misconception of following the reference ranges on labs, which by the way, do vary lab to lab. You know, the American Medical Boards and the different boards of medicine have their standards, but really what's happening is it's a statistic on that with that lab company, and it can be a little bit geographical. I see certain states and certain labs vary by 50 to 100 points sometimes, which is a lot for anyone, but that's really how we get to what's probably most common to see is a reference range for men between like 350 or 400 to, and I've seen it as low as 250 on some labs, all the way up to 950, 900. And there is a little bit of shift with age variance, but for the most part, that's kind of the reference range that you typically see. That's really broad. And we know for like heart health, a level above 650 protects the heart arteries. And so the problem that so often occurs is that in traditional healthcare, you have someone in reference range and insurance is also following that reference range. And now your hands are tied in a sense, because you're going, oh, they're normal. And they're telling you they have every single symptom, low libido, cognitive decline, they're tired, they are gaining fat, they have a hard time recovering from exercises, they get home from work and they just want to sit on the couch, they're unmotivated, all of those kind of things. And so where I look at it is say, okay, you're symptomatic, your levels are below optimal, so we got to figure out what to do here. And for me, for men, and it is age dependent a little bit, right? Like I don't necessarily think somebody that's 70 needs to have 1,000 on their testosterone. Like it's natural to have some decline, but I would like to keep them above 650 or 700 and them feel better, right? Like them feel like, ah, I feel good. I feel vibrant. I feel like I can go out and go for a walk or a jog or whatever it is that's important to them. So for me, optimal is I have numbers, but then I'm also listening to what the patient says. All right. This works for me. I feel so good.
Obviously with that in-depth kind of analysis on testosterone, you do work with both male and females?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I work with both. I think just naturally being a woman, I usually get women first and then like, they're like 2 or 3 months in, they're like, okay, I'm feeling better. I'm pretty sure my husband has low testosterone.
I swear that women are usually the guinea pigs. So I'm like, Nick sends me in all the time first. He's like, you go try this gym. Tell me if it's good. And maybe then I'll go, you know? Yeah. So I'm kind of the litmus test. Do you find that there's a crossover on the complaints between men and women and what the kind of their symptoms are, or are they completely separate and different when they come to you?
Women are more complicated. So I always like,
right. True.
I'm hearing a little bit when I get a male patient, because I'm like, hey, this is going to be so much easier. But I love taking care of women. I mean, we're the heartbeat of the home, and we're the people that bring the energy and the mood to the house, I think. And so for women, like I do heal a lot of fatigue. I start hearing a lot of like PMS type stuff, you know, bloating, my periods or heaviness is increasing. I get headaches around my menstrual cycle, those kind of various symptoms. I'm irritable. I'm anxious. I feel down and it's cyclical. I'm not always feeling down, but man, like the week before or the week of my cycle, I'm so depressed. I hear those kind of things. And then once we get talking, you know, I usually start hearing like, oh yeah, my libido is totally a problem. And some of those kind of things for us, it's our priorities are different. We just want to feel better and not feel like we're losing our mind.
Right.
And then everything else can kind of happen. Right. And then for men, you know, I think usually they're coming in saying like, I'm tired. I'm just unmotivated. I know I need to work out, but I just can't get there. And then the next thing, the next complaint is probably sex.
We're very simple creatures. Very straight. The one thing that when you talked about when you are lower than 650, you're at a greater risk of heart disease. I would imagine just from the world that we live in, and a lot of us are really into sports and we come from the sports world and we always got tested like through college. Some people even get tested in high school and then professional athletics getting tested regularly. And the fans are really into players getting tested. Who tests positive for what? Why are they testing? He's a cheater. Barry Bonds, you know, Mark McGwire. So it's like we all live through and kind of at the age 30 to 45, we're of the age where 90s baseball was a thing. And we were super critical of anybody that was on any performance enhancing drugs, but it's real life, right? Like we're not in professional sports any longer or ever. And I think a lot of people have really negative stigmas around hormone replacement therapy. And there's like a giant barrier to cross mentally before they're willing to accept that it's acceptable. Do you find that, or is there like they're coming to you, but do you have to coach them through the process of this? And psychologically, what does that look like for your patients?
So many times they've been feeling bad for a while, or they come in with just like this wellness mindset of like, man, people are shifting, right? Like there totally is that stigma that's there. There's totally, especially having practiced in South Florida for a long time, like that was totally present in there. And, you know, there's definitely that way to do hormone replacement and more of a steroid type of a mentality. And where I shifted is just saying like, this is for your wellness. And this is to get you optimal and for you to feel well, right? Not because I'm trying to bulk you out, right? Or make you Hulk, right? Like that's not the point. And men and women have that connotation, or, you know, have to have that conversation. So that's super interesting. I think you probably have a really unique perspective of it coming from professional sports. Yeah,
almost you've got that mindset of I'm cheating. Well, I'm cheating. It's like, you're not cheating. You're trying to be healthy and be well and feel good and have energy and not be lethargic and have good sex drive and all of these things that are important for our overall health and wellness. I think it is though, when you talk to a lot of men, and I know I hear you women having more conversations about hormone replacement therapy, but when you talk to men, they almost have that leery eye of you're cheating when not really. And yet,
makes sense. I mean, I think where you have to kind of have perspective and understanding is that if someone is taking hormone replacement therapy or using steroids to achieve athletic performance or a certain physique, they're typically using really high doses, right? For men, it might be an injectable testosterone. I've seen people do crazy things, 250 milligrams.
Wow.
Goodness.
Three
gracious.
Times a week.
Wow.
Goodness.
On top of other androgenic and steroids, right? Like testosterone is a steroid. It's how you use it that becomes abusive or therapeutic. And so most of my men are on anywhere between 120 and 200 milligrams a week. I only have one or two people that take more than 200 milligrams per week. So, and we're monitoring their labs. I'm trying to keep them where they feel good and they're optimal, which for me, I would say for most of my guys, I tell them between like 800 and 1,000 on kind of like your, just after the peak of the half-life of the testosterone, right, depending on how we're using it. So it's just a different mindset. You are right. And there are actually like natural things that I help people with. Sometimes it's not, here's testosterone, right? Like this is what you have to do. And your levels are 550 or 600. If we're close, we could totally accomplish this with supplements. We can use clomiphene or HCG, some kind of off-label uses. They're on-label for female fertility, but they actually stimulate the testicles to produce more testosterone. And that's something that can be kind of a temporary support while we go back and try to fix why we think it happened, whether it's toxins, you know, people that work in industries where they have a lot of toxin exposures or just things that they could have developed over time. It's stress. That's probably a huge one. And just diet, you know, sugar and alcohol and those kind of things. So we can accomplish a lot without having to touch testosterone. But it's just a different mindset of where we're going and why we're going there.
Side of what Nick's saying. So males oftentimes associate, you know, taking hormones or supplementing different things with cheating and cheating life. Women, I hear a lot of, they're scared. They, you know, in the 80s and 90s, it was always, you know, taking hormone replacement was elevating your risk of, you know, female cancers. Can you talk about how that's changed and how maybe bioidentical hormones are a little different nowadays than they were?
Okay, so yes, this is a big one. So in 2002, I believe it was, forgive me if I don't have my ear right, the Women's Health Organization came out and released a paper that evaluated a bunch of different studies. And they just made these blanket recommendations saying, you know, women should not be on hormone replacement of any kind for more than 5 years. You know, after 35, we shouldn't be on birth control and smoke and right? And so we know that, you know, hormones increase stroke risk, it can increase breast cancer risk and all of that. What happened though, is they didn't differentiate what kind of hormones gave these results. So really, if you pull back and look at the studies they evaluated, where the problem always lies is with synthetic. And so things like Premarin for women, which is a synthetic estrogen, has gotten a bad rap. And people really aren't using that one as much anymore. But I think about birth control and how many times women get put on birth control at 20. And that's not healthy. Right. Like I get it for birth control, totally. Right. But, you know, so many times it was given because they were trying to mask bad PMS or heavy periods. And what would have happened if we would have just flipped that? I think we would have a lot less strokes. I think we would have a lot less breast cancer. I think we would have a lot less of a lot of issues if we looked at that. So really when you look at the data on bioidentical, which just means that the molecular structure is identical to what your body would naturally produce, the data is positive. We're breast protective, we're uterus protective, and we're bone protective, and we help people feel better. And the risk of having an adverse event is so minute comparatively to all of these synthetic things. If you look at the disease curve, where disease starts rising in women is at the intersect where hormones decline. So I think there's so much weight to the fact of when we don't have estrogen, when we don't have progesterone, when we don't have enough testosterone, our risk of heart disease, of being obese and overweight and gaining weight and having thyroid issues and having osteopenia and osteoporosis and all of those factors goes up dramatically.
So if I heard you correctly, if there's women out there with daughters who are coming into, or men out there with daughters that are coming into those kind of formative teenage years, and you're advising them, how do you advise them on birth control? And I know it's deeply personal, but from a health standpoint, from a like a clinical standpoint, how do you advise the birth control?
Yes, and I, you know, needing birth control for prevention of getting pregnant is completely different than using it for headaches and for bloating and for cramping and all of those things that young women often go through as their bodies are trying to figure out what to do with this hormone. Our food sources make a tremendous difference. All of the hormones in our beef and our protein And all of the sugar that gets consumed by these kids into their teenage years makes all of that worse, right? They get inflamed, and we're seeing younger and younger women with estrogen dominance and endometriosis and things that they shouldn't have at 16. Like, you should not have an unhealthy uterus at that age. And so there have been cases where I've said, like, okay, I'll take the 17-year-old and I'm going to put them on a low baby dose of progesterone to kind of fill the tank and help them along while we fix the diet and all these other things. And then sometimes it's supplements, you know, that we'll recommend just to try to support the symptoms and get to the reason why it's happening. And I feel really good about that. I wish more people would think about it that way, because I think every year after 5 years, maybe it's 2 years on birth control, your fertility decreases by a certain percentage. I think it's like 10% or something like that. So, you know, we've seen a huge amount of increase in infertility since we started using birth control.
Well, I know everyone. I was put on the pill, you know, at 15 years old to same thing, to control heavy periods and acne. Never really was asked if I was, you know, happy, mood swings, nothing. Stayed on it through, I think, 27. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, we're ready to start a family. And, you know, you just assume you're going to go off for a month and everything's going to kind of go back to normal. And you're in for a rude awakening. You know, it can be years to regulate your system after that, which I don't think we talk to young girls enough about that.
Right. I think that's the thing, is it's always education. I mean, how many times have you gone to a traditional practitioner and then you get put on a medication and then you go home and Google it and you're like, holy smokes, like, what am I doing? And then you're like, this is safe and it may be relatively low risk, but there's still risk there. And so anyways, I think that I thought about this with my own daughters, you know, when they get to that age, like, okay, how am I going to handle all of these things and deal with this? And that's really what I would say is, you know, conversations, education, and just trying to kind of realize that their lifestyle matters, improving their nutrition matters. And there's a lot of supplements that can be taken. Chaseberry is great to raise progesterone. There's a lot of things that can be done if you realize what's going on in terms of the acne and the heavy periods. And those are, probably the most common reasons people get put on birth control.
And that really comes back to the time that you get to spend with your patients versus traditional medicine, where it's, I got 5-10 minutes because we got to keep the office going and people have been waiting in the lobby and they're an hour overdue now. And you get to have a real conversation with somebody and talk about the risk, the pros, the cons, all of that. You get to lay that out. Tell me about with male hormones, because you talked about the protective effects of female hormones being at appropriate levels. And we mentioned the over 650 protects heart risk or heart disease risk for men. Are there other benefits and is there dangers to creeping below a certain level of testosterone and free testosterone?
Yeah, I think for men, that's your master hormone. Like for women, it's probably estrogen, right? We have estrogen receptors, thousands of them. And for men, that's the main receptor sites that you have for hormone is testosterone related. So think about bone health. Men can get osteopenia and osteoporosis. You have those receptors in your brain. So cognitive function, focus, you feeling clear, you having good mental performance is testosterone related a lot of times. And there's some data that's come out, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of people having the fear that testosterone replacement would cause
all types of cancer. And again, I think for me, it comes from the sports world where people look back at a guy who played for the Raiders in the 70s. And he was one of those guys that was like 200-300 milligrams a week, multiple times, Lyle Alzado. And he died a really ugly death where his body just shut down on him, heart failure, liver failure, kidney failure. It was just kind of eaten from the inside out. But he was abusing the drug, not using it to get into a healthy range. Yes, exactly.
You were made to have a certain testosterone range. And so what I'm always saying is like, let's put you back at where you should have been between 28 and 30, right? Like 800 to 1,000 at the most, and good estrogen control and all of those things. And what we now know about prostate cancer is that you actually do need testosterone to support the prostate. And so it's just about not having too little or not having an excessive amount and causing inflammation. If you have too much testosterone, especially when you're replacing it and you're just not being monitored right, and like you get a lot of estrogen conversion, you could have some swelling of the prostate. If you got too much dihydrotestosterone, which is the hormone that comes after testosterone, you could probably cause some prostate swelling. It should come back down if you recognize it and correct, you know, you can a lot of times avoid a bigger problem and minimize it and heal it up. But it, again, it's just all about having not too much, not too little. What we know is that testosterone replacement does not cause prostate cancer. If you were to get prostate cancer, which for most men would happen in their 70s, like really later in life, and it's generally really slow growing. If you were to get prostate cancer, testosterone could cause those cells to replicate faster and could cause it to grow a little faster. I've had a few patients that have had prostate cancer that we caught. And I honestly think that we caught it because we were monitoring them. I mean, so many doctors now are just monitoring patients yearly, or they may see them every 2 or 3 years. A lot of them aren't doing digital rectal exams. A lot of people are just kind of like very minorly checking the prostate and saying, oh, you have an enlarged prostate, and they're not really investigating it further. So there's definitely been situations where I feel like them having been a patient and having been on testosterone probably saved them in some capacity because they were so closely monitored.
How often are you monitoring patient labs? So give me the process. Like somebody comes to you from initial consult to kind of follow up, maybe like 0 months to 6 months. And then thereafter.
Okay.
And then thereafter.
So usually I'll see patients initially, we'll go through all of their symptoms, their goals, their health concerns, their lifestyle factors, any medication, supplements, medical history, all those things, and then plan for lab work, what labs we need to get. Some people come on a little bit of hormone, so that affects how we're testing. Some people come in as a blank slate. So we'll get the labs, we arrange that to be done locally, or that we have some at-home test kits also. And then I'll see the patient back and we'll go over those labs for about an hour and just deep dive and get a full comprehensive game plan. Hey, here's X, Y, and Z of how to get your hormones balanced or how to get you feeling better and those symptoms you've complained of relieved. And then longevity, here's the things that I'm seeing on your blood work that would be of concern or could be of concern down the road. And so let's address those things either now or over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. And then I'll see patients back. We'll get them going on their plan. All their medicines and supplements are delivered to their door, which is awesome and super convenient. And then we'll see patients back between 3 and 4 months, typically. Sometimes it's a little sooner, sometimes it's a little later, depending on the patient's schedule. But we're doing usually like a quarterly checkup initially, and then every 4 to 5 months awesome. After that.
And tell us about, because you're what, Jamie's a week in working
three,
with you? Three weeks.
Three yes.
weeks total.
Yes.
Yeah. And how's it been?
It's been amazing. Like, I have to tell you, Courtney, I am so thrilled with how much detail and time you've given me over the last 3 weeks. I've worked with endocrinologists in the past, and, you know, maybe it's the female connection that I feel with you, but it's been just a blanket. Here's, you know, a remedy. See you in a year. And very much, you know, in and out. And I always said to Nick, because again, we were working with a man and a really nice guy, good doctor, but he just never gave me that time. And I feel like as a woman, there's so many things going on with, you know, kids and sleep and all the things that, yeah, the last 3 weeks, I feel like I've gotten more attention from you than I have from any healthcare provider, you know, up until this point in my life. So I'm thrilled. I know.
Look at those 5-star reviews.
I'm telling you, I cannot recommend you enough. Now, one thing. Oh, good. One thing that we've sort of touched on a little just in our consults are peptides. Now, we've talked a lot about hormones, and peptides is kind of a new, you know, catchphrase or a new, you know, wave in medicine. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what it can do for us? I have, you know, just again, in the kind of biohacking world, I follow a comedian on Instagram, Chelsea Handler, and she turned 47 this year. And she's like, oh, I want to thank, you know, whatever, my genes. And she's like, and a little help from peptides. And I was like, man, what are these peptides, you know, and how is she looking that great at 47 years old? So
she was skiing down the slopes with no top on.
Yeah. But, you know, her Nothing.
No, I think she had tassels on or something. Yeah,
she's a mess, but she's hilarious. She's funny. So she was thanking peptides for, you know, all the anti-aging benefits because she does. She looks incredible at 47. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about peptides.
So mainly when people say peptides, they're thinking of growth hormone peptides. And there are thousands of peptides. We naturally have these blends in our body. And there's now an entire society called the International Peptide Society. And there's the American Academy of Anti-Aging and Regenerative Medicine. They're doing some studies and some looking into all of these things also. And so that's really how I heard about peptides, kind of being in this regenerative and anti-aging world. What I love about it is, you know, like Sylvester Stallone, I'm going to throw out some names, Sylvester Stallone and Suzanne Summers and some of these people who have been in media and aged like so well, you're like, and right. Yes, there's plastics, right? Of course, but right. There's also a ton of growth hormone. And the thing with growth hormone is that it can be incredibly regenerative and make you age beautifully, but there are some downsides to it. First of all, once you start taking growth hormone, you're kind of shutting down to some capacity your natural production of it because your body recognizes that hormone is there and sends a signal back to the brain and the pituitary gland says, hey, we're good. We got enough hormone. You don't need to keep making this. And so it can kind of reset if you pause or you come off. But once you start, like it does suppress your natural production some. So that's a downside. Cost is a downside of growth hormone. And so what I tell patients is, listen, like you're 35, you're 40, your pituitary works. Your levels aren't 20 where you have a pituitary issue. They are 120, 130, 150, 160. And we know that for you to age in your best way, whether it's aesthetically and just general cell breakdown and recovery, your metabolism, your cognitive function, so many things that we want your growth hormone levels, which is your IGF-1 is what we use in the blood work, to be between 180 and 220. And some providers say 250.
Right.
Semantics to some degree, right? But basically a peptide's job is to stimulate your body to make it again on its own, which is fantastic. So it's really more regenerative and restorative versus replace. And there's a ton of different peptides. There's some that are great for gut healing and people that have a lot of systemic inflammation. There's some that are better for people who have like autoimmune disease and they need that immune modulating support. I'm using one right now on my knee because I had a kid who kicked me with a roller skate in the knee and I thought my knee exploded.
Like an old school roller skate?
The inflammation come down and then I'm right on a peptide because I want to go to jog and play basketball and work out and do all of these things. And my knee hurts and I don't want to have to have surgery on it either. So there's peptides that help ligament and tendon damage. And so we've done a lot of regenerative work with those things and avoided surgeries with patients and that kind of stuff. And then there's just general growth hormone peptides, which is primarily what we talked about.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I'm going to give you a call about these peptides because my joints from football are trashed.
Right.
Like I'm trying my best to avoid joint replacement surgery and all of the things that go there.
Hormone helps all the cells in your body replicate and recover, right? So when you're 10, your levels are between 500 and 600, as long as you're growing of normal stature, right? A person that has growth hormone deficiency at that age is short, small, tiny, you know, doesn't gain weight. I checked mine growth hormone. I was like fortunate to have gotten into this so early on, but I checked my growth hormone at like 29 or 30 and it was 420 naturally. And I'm like, okay, this is why this makes so much sense. Like I can work out for 2 days and my body looks different. Like I just hyper respond. And so it's been my life goal to keep a good growth hormone level.
Two workouts. Look at me.
And the day, I mean, it is amazing, right? But that just shows you, right? Your body was naturally built in this way. And because of time and because of, you know, just, we only have so much organ reserve and we have kids and we have stress and we have all of these things kind of going on, our levels shift and drop lower and we notice it, we feel it, but sometimes we just can't pinpoint what it is that's so different. And growth hormone is a huge part of that.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up. I don't want to take too much more of your time, but you spend your days making everybody else feel better. That's kind of what, you know, you're known for and what I've come to realize about you. How do you balance work and family life? And what do you do to recharge your own batteries?
Oh man. This is a good week to ask me that because we just went away without the kids to the mountains.
Oh, nice.
Phenomenal. Best weekend ever. And you know, sometimes I just need that space. Right. And I think so many times, especially like, I feel like for any mom probably feels this way. Like you're juggling like personal household things, you're juggling, you know, kid events. And we just kind of take charge of those things and it ends up compiling on. And so sometimes I'm not the person who's going to go, like, I'm terrible at yoga. I'm terrible at going and getting a pedicure or a massage. Like I would like to do those things, but I just can't, I just don't shut down. So honestly, like working out is a huge stress relief for me. I love to go for walks. And then, you know, you hit a point where you're just like, I just need a few days off of all of this. I just kind of retreat and create that space and that time to just be and to enjoy myself and unplug from social media and from cell phone and all of those things.
That was awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Really, really appreciate you.
That's so good.
I'm so excited about this.
So awesome. So I just want to tell everybody out there. So Courtney Gardner and her practice is Restore You Wellness. And you're on Instagram, imagine Facebook. Yes.
Where can people find you?
Yes. Okay. The best way to find me is my, I would say go to my personal Instagram page. It's Courtney Gardner. At Courtney Gardner on Instagram. The website for my clinic is www.restorethewellness.com. So it's RESTORE, the letter U, wellness, WELLNESS.com. And that's all the info about my clinic. And I actually put up there a hormone quiz. And so if you are one of those people that is like, man, I wonder if that's what's going on with me, go in, it's a free quiz, go in, click in, you can print it off and take it. And I think the higher the score is, the more likely it is that you have X, Y, and Z hormone issue. So sometimes that can help give a lot of clarity to people who are just like,
And like Jamie said, it's a super easy process. You've been great to work with and very, very easy. So thank you and great spending time with you. And please send Shonda our best, if you don't mind.
Well, thank you guys so much.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. Soon. You guys are amazing.
Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Great.
She was great. We're still on.
Oh, we are.
Wrap-up show.
Hey, hey.
It's the wrap-up show with Nick and Jay.
Okay, so like I said on the podcast, she is literally, she's amazing.
She's good.
She really is. She's a young mom of three who looks amazing herself. And she just has taken so much time with me over the last 3 weeks to explain all the things that I never knew I had, you know, all the underlying conditions, you know, just even not even underlying conditions, because I do feel pretty good and I'm generally healthy, but just any level that's off, she's detected. And again, I've had blood work done every year, probably for the last 10 years. And a lot of the things that she's looked for have gone unnoticed by other practitioners.
One of the differences, though, is yes, you've gotten blood work done every year and maybe every 6 months or so.
Yeah.
But there's been another part of that where it's a finger prick test and not an actual lab where you go in. So that's been a bit different for you, right?
And I want to quickly look at the name of that, because that's where she caught a lot of my hormone imbalances. And that's called the ZRT test that I was able to do.
Wow.
And that was a finger prick.
And do you know what ZRT stands for? Or that's the laboratory? Okay.
So that's my ZRT.
That's the lab.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
But it's really neat. So it shows all your levels. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. She's just, anyways.
That's fantastic.
She's been great. She's kind. She's patient. I think she's very affordable. That was my big thing too with this telemedicine stuff. I was like, yes. Oh gosh, am I going to have to spend thousands of dollars a month? Nick's mm-hmm. going to kill me. What is this costing?
I'm not going to kill you, first off.
He's not. But no. I've been very pleasantly surprised by the moderate amount of money that I've spent for the amount of care I've gotten in return.
That's great.
Yeah. So super happy.
Yeah. She's, and then in return, like, it's an investment.
It is.
In yourself, in your health, in your future, to be protective from the issues that will cost you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, if not your life, later.
Right.
Heart attack, cancer, stroke, neurocognitive decline, all of those issues that come from having levels that are either too high or too low and not monitored. And by the way, not living the life you want to live.
Right.
Right. Like, not feeling good, being sleepy, not having a good sex drive, not being, you know, the mom, the spouse, the friend, the active person that you want to be. And for me, like, have to be. I think humans have to be active to be good in the brain.
Yeah.
Like, that's number one, is if your body feels good, then you can exercise, you can stay active, you can play with your kids, you can do all the fun things that we do. But in that, ultimately, the prize is to take care of your brain.
Yeah.
And because if you lose your brain, you lose your mind. What are we doing here?
You're done.
Yeah. You might as well be a piece of celery in the fridge. Yeah. All right.
All right. Well,
hey, wish me luck. I'm going to get my vaccine.
Oh, tomorrow. Your day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to give you 24-hour grace period. So.
But are you?
I really am.
I hope you remember how bad you felt. Oh, when you got the vaccine, you felt like hell.
I felt like crap.
We had this super funny discussion, by the way. So she felt sick afterwards. You felt like dog crap for 24 hours afterwards. And it took, what did it take?
It was about 12 hours after the vaccine. Yeah. I started noticing, you know, oh gosh, I'm like really achy. Ooh, my head doesn't. Ooh, I'm going to pass out. I need to lay down.
Yes.
But yeah, great all day. I got the vaccine about 8 a.m. I would say 8 p.m. is when I started really noticing how terrible I was feeling. And Nick kept being like, you're sick.
I said, yeah, you're sick.
You're sick.
You're sick. Stop.
And in my head, it pissed me off because I'm not sick. For me, and maybe we need to look up the Webster definition of sick, but sick for me means like contagious. Transmittable. Yes.
Yeah. So, and that was the technical argument was, no, I'm not sick because I'm not contagious. And I said, but you feel what? I feel sick. And then it took her about 12 hours, 18 hours deep into that 24-hour window to go, I'm sick.
Shit, I felt bad.
I'm sick.
But I have to say,
I didn't celebrate that victory then, by the way.
You're just rubbing it in now.
Internally, I did.
I have to say, though, I know people have pros and cons of the vaccine, and I know there's, you know, really strong opinions on both sides. Mm-hmm. For me personally, with my family being in another country, with me being ready.
And Canada's crazy.
Canada's very strict.
Jeez.
Love you, Canadians, but jeez, my gosh, unlock the border.
That is a scared people up there.
Yeah. So
you come from a scared country.
For me, knowing that this is the first step in me being able to visit home, which I haven't been home in 18 months, yeah, which is the longest it's I've ever gone. I feel good about getting the vaccine. Yeah, I feel really good about my decision, my choice. It sucked for 24 hours and here I am.
All good. Check the box.
Yes.
Who gives a hell? Like, I'll feel down for 24 hours. I'll be fine. You know what? We had it before. We had the virus, like, itself, pretty heavy load, pushed through. It was 2 weeks, big freaking deal. This one's going to be 24 hours tops. And like you said, we haven't seen your family. I'd like to travel internationally. And it sure seems like that's where everything's going. And you know what I don't want is, like, in 4 months when it's time to go travel, I was like, oh, now I got to go find the vaccine. Oh, wait, you have to do the double shot because we ran out of the single. And now, oh, well, can we wait on this trip? I don't want to do that. I don't want to hold us back. And
there's no guarantees you're going to feel bad either, dude. Like, true. I know I felt crappy, but I've talked to so many people that are like, I felt nothing.
Yeah.
I was good. So I don't think that prepare for the worst, but don't expect it. We'll
and I'll
see.
I'll tell you this. Like, I had the feeling, like, during the whole virus was, I'm not going to get tested. Regardless of how I feel, I'm not going to get tested. If I feel sick, I'm staying home. I'm not going to contribute to the hysteria and the mania of the numbers and the positive tests. And you're not going to find me on one of these news outlets, number of positive tests. She ain't going to see me doing that. But also on the other side of that, I'm not going to be one of the non-numbers that's not allowing us to open this damn thing up, right? Like, the more that people get vaccinated, I'm not propagating anybody, do whatever the hell you want, I don't care. But personally, I'm not going to be one that's like, well, we haven't had enough vaccines, so the target continues to move. And I'm not going to do that. And I was reluctant at first. It's like, well, why the hell do I have to get a vaccine? I already had the virus. Like, I have antibodies. I'm good to go, but nobody cares. Nobody cares. Like, eventually, I don't know if we're going to have passports or whatever the hell the deal is. Like, me fighting it, Nick Hardwick in Westfield, Indiana, fighting the power, like, it's not doing anything.
No.
I'm not going to be able to overwhelm legislation. I'm not going to, you know.
No.
But one thing I do want to do is, and you ordered it for me this morning, so thank you. It should be arriving later today, is the I've been vaccinated shirt. And on the back, I wanted to say BTW, I've also had the virus. And maybe I'll just put that on there with a pen or like put some tape on the back or something. It's like, I'm double protected.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
I
like,
got you.
There's a reason I'm not wearing a mask, fools. I'll walk in anywhere without a mask. I'm done with that damn thing. I'm so over it. That's there. All right. Okay. Feel better. Okay. Let's go have some lunch.
All right. Thank you. That was really fun.
Love you, babe.
Yep. Love you too. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Hey, thanks for being our guinea pig.
With what? Courtney?
With the doctor. Yeah.
Oh, she's awesome.
She's awesome.
She's awesome.
I'm going to give her a call. I'm going to talk about these peptides.
Yeah. And I didn't ask her this. Injectables?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's something that we need to talk to her about.
Yep.
Cool.
All right.
Bye.
Love you.